This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lon.
Yeah.
Here's your ESPN radio weather forecast update brought to you by the Atlanta Inn, where we definitely should have been watching this Cardinals game today.
Stinking other job.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
we love it. Now we can talk about the win.
I do love my other job, but yeah, we could have been sitting there. Of course.
Might have to do that one of these nights for Cubs Cardinals.
Yeah, let's do it at night. It'd be too dangerous, you and I, sitting in Atlanta Inn, not drinking, watching a Cardinals game. I'd be like, okay, I do need a Bud Light.
Yes.
Okay.
You can also go there for appetizers, wings, pizza. Grab some pizza. They have mozzarella sticks.
I say that. I did go there one day and eat wings and had a Coke before a game. So I can do it. I can do it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, outside right now, it's sunny and 85 degrees. It's steamy, but it's still baseball weather. 63 tonight. Tomorrow high is 86. Another hot one. Sunny. Friday, 86 as well. And Saturday, looking like 80. So
nice.
Hanging in the 80s, but it's baseball weather.
I love it.
ESPN Radio.
And here we go.
There's a drive.
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done. Well done.
Swing and a drive.
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here. Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman. Brad Underwood.
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Gee.
Let's go for a little ride.
Boy, I just got fired up, and I'm sorry. I'm back. All right, it is The Drive with Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper. We got a heavy-hitting first hour of the show. And the first guest that we're going to talk to here in moments, Kevin Wheeler. We couldn't ask for a better time to have Kevin on right as the Cardinals get it done today, 5-1 against the Nationals. So many things happened in that game, including Tommy Edman and Dexter Fowler. Matt Wieters is back, and he homered. Tommy Edman hit the first home run of the game. The Cardinals get it done against Max Scherzer. Adam Wainwright, a guy that you and I both just kind of said, what's your famous line about Adam Wainwright?
Yeah, I thought by August he'd be a nice addition to the bullpen as a bullpen coach.
As a coach, not even just getting the bullpen. The guy's ERA is now under 3. It's like 3.7. And he's been locked in.
It's 208 at home.
Oh, my. I was about ready to say he's been locked in at home all year, but lately he's been locked in on the road or at home. It's an amazing thing. So we're going to visit with Kevin Wheeler here in moments. We're making that call right now. Alex is getting that done. Jeremy Warner then is going to join us at 4:30. We're kind of paying him back because you just joined the show. They played my rant, and I'm like, well, listen, then you got to come on our show.
No, give us something.
Exactly. I started thinking of this last night driving home, and I'm like, we've got to get Warner on. So he's coming on at 4:30 today, and then we're going to talk a lot of baseball all day. I cannot wait to do this. At 5:30, we're going to do Around the World of Big Ten Football. No Trevor Valise today, but he did type up the Around the World of Big Ten Football, and Alec is going to handle reading that. So we're going to get all over that in the 5 o'clock hour. We also have, and I want to tell you about it, the GoStever.com. Stevie came in and talked with you and I. Well, guess what? We get to do one today here on our show, The Drive, and it's going live at 5:30. It's a $30 Rosati's pizza voucher. So here's what you need to do. You got to go to GoStever.com and make sure you're registered. I am.
I am as well.
Good. Make sure you're registered. And then click on the offer if you get it. So in other words, if you're one of those, and listen, this will take 10 seconds tops to give away these Rosati's pizza vouchers. If you get it, you just click on the offer and hit accept, and then you got to use it within 7 days. So I'm going to force you. Stevie J is going to force you to go eat pizza at Rosati's in the next 7 days. Well, terrible.
Tough gig.
So we'll do that, and we'll do that around 5:30. We're waiting here a moment to talk to Kevin Wheeler. Let's talk about this game today. Can you put into words how big going into this game? First of all, 0 to 10, with 10 being we're going to win. How confident were you going in today against Max Scherzer?
Probably about a three, three or four.
I'd say
I still liked Adam Wainwright on the mound at home. And I don't know, though, after last night's loss, it's hard to not go a little negative and be like, we're going to put ourselves in the toughest position possible going into Wrigley, aren't we?
Yes.
And now we got to face Scherzer. But, Waino's been lights out at home. And of course, I don't know. There's something about this team now where he's starting to feel confident on the home stretch.
And the Cubs giving the Cardinals a huge break last night as they fall to the Reds. The Reds have just been their bugaboo all year. So that keeps them two back. Milwaukee won again. This is ridiculous now that they can't lose. Now all of a sudden you're, after today's game, you're 2.5 games ahead as Milwaukee and the Cubs both play again. So I think Milwaukee plays. I know the Cubs do. We'll have to effort that. So, but the Cubs, if nothing else, Cardinals go into Wrigley, which starts tomorrow night. That's an early game, a 6 o'clock game, so we will only have
Flaherty
an hour
on the
show.
Mound.
Flaherty's on the hill against Kyle Hendricks. Was that the last time we faced Hendricks at Wrigley and the game took like 38 minutes?
Sounds about right.
I think he threw like 50 pitches. It was incredible. So we will talk more about Cardinals baseball as we go along today. Again, Jeremy Warner is going to join us at 4:30. Kevin Wheeler is joining us now at KevinWheeler94. He is the man. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are great, Kevin. I just asked Pipes, and you're the most measured guy I know, so I love doing this. Well, at least about sports. I don't know how you are with other things, so maybe you're not.
I'm pretty crazy with video games.
or like Metallica concerts or something. But
Or Slipknot down the pit. That's not very mellow.
Is that Wheeler? Yes! Zero to 10, 10 being, we got this in the bag. How confident were you with the Cardinals playing against Max Scherzer today?
Not at all. it's funny, given the way things went in the lead up to the series, it didn't look good at all, did it? I mean, you have a team that hadn't been hitting going up against Strasburg, Corbin, and Scherzer, and you win two out of three. That's pretty good, man. And, I don't know if it's, maybe it is the story of the year so far for the Cardinals has been Adam Wainwright at home.
Incredible.
I mean, it's insane. And I still can't reconcile the vast difference between home and away. I mean, I understand the difference. I still can't figure out why it's this big of a gap, but the way he's pitched at home has been phenomenal. And, obviously, the game today came down to a couple of key plays, Dexter Fowler robbing the home run. I think Chip Hale sticking with Max Scherzer instead of pinch hitting for him was interesting given that Scherzer hasn't been as sharp lately as he had been earlier since he came off the DL. But it's a great sign. I mean, you talk about when the games matter most. I mean, this is it. You're down to the last 10 days, and stealing that one today and winning the series against Washington was a big deal.
How unlikely is this that Adam Wainwright, not only at home, but in general in September, he's 4-0, 0.33 ERA. After the All-Star break, he's 8-2.
Wow.
Going into spring training, I joked that I thought he'd be the bullpen coach by August. How do you put that into words, what he's done?
I honestly don't know. I mean, because the guy on the road looks like the guy that should be the bullpen coach, right? I mean, like that, it's one of the most baffling things that I've seen. Because we're not talking about like Coors Field, right, where the home is so much of an extreme compared to the road. I mean, Busch is a ballpark that favors pitchers, but it doesn't favor any of their other pitchers by that much.
No,
and I really don't have a good explanation for it, and that's why I find it to be so fascinating because at home, he's been the guy that was a Cy Young contender 4 or 5 years ago. And on the road, he's really not been good at all. And I still, to this day, don't have a really good answer as to why. But before the year, I didn't think he would finish the year in the rotation. I thought he had a pretty good chance. I just figured, his age, nagging injuries eventually catch up, something along those lines. But he's been mostly healthy with a couple of times there where it wasn't all that great. He's been a massive, massive performer at home. And on the road, while it's been, it's been less than what you want, it's not been that much worse. Well, actually, that's not true. It has been worse than the other guys. It's a season that I don't think any of us could have seen coming. If you told me his road splits would look like they were, I would have said there's no way he could be in the rotation in September, but he's doing a great job.
Speaking of things you couldn't see coming, Tommy Edman.
Wow.
I like to call him Tommy Ballgame, by the way. Hits the home run today. He looks like he got called up from the Little League World Series. Just what has he added to this team, and how vital has he been to this run here late in the season?
Well, I mean, it's massive, and it's especially good. I know today he played right field when they were trying to give Harrison Bader a day off, and I'm fine with all that. But you know, the baffling thing with him earlier was the fact that he was playing the outfield over outfielders rather than taking over for a struggling third baseman. And now that that's really been the plan for the last month, it's been a massive difference. And it's funny because when you talk to people out of town, when you talk to people in Chicago and in Milwaukee, Tommy Edmund is exactly the guy they refer to when they talk about Cardinals devil magic. Like every year, this is the perspective I get from my friends in Chicago. Like every year there's a guy or two that nobody's ever heard of before yep. that all of a sudden does amazing things, whether it's Tommy Pham or Tommy Edmund or whatever. And I don't know that it's been as true the last couple years as it was, you know, the previous year before that, but Edmund's definitely that guy. You know, I mean, this is a player that I think even the Cardinals viewed as a utility player for the long term, and maybe he still does profile that way, but he stepped in at a time when they just needed somebody to give them something more than what Matt Carpenter could, and I can't tell you how impressed I am with that guy, and I really like him as an infielder. I'm not so sure I still love the idea of him as an outfielder.
Right.
I guess that Tyler O'Neill is no longer a part of the picture. But, you know, the way he's going, I don't think you want to take him out too often. I mean, he's doing too many good things.
At Kevin Wheeler, 94. Kevin, I was laughing with Piper that if you're – I don't know how many diehard Nationals fans there actually are, but I'm going to assume there's a few of them out there, and they're probably just like – I hate playing the Cardinals. I mean, Pete Cosma did it to him. Now you got Tommy Edmund doing it to him. Doesn't Tommy Edmund, though, when you see him, and I'm with you on the outfield thing. In fact, I don't even know if Tommy really enjoys it, but he's a professional. Do you see him as a guy that maybe, you know, I know the Cardinals and every major league team, they need these guys, right, that can fill the roles, that can go in and play this. He looks like a guy with his skill level that could actually be a little bit more than that and maybe an everyday player one day, or am I getting ahead of myself?
I honestly don't know. I think what he translates to best, like if you're looking over the next 5 years, is probably a guy that plays five games a week and he plays second base, shortstop, third base, and a little outfield. Maybe he's one of those guys that's just going to be better than what people thought. I mean, Paul DeJong wasn't a really highly regarded prospect, but
right.
Now he's an everyday shortstop that's going to hit close to 30 home runs. So, you know, but he, everybody knew he had power coming up, but nobody thought he was a shortstop. You know, he was a third baseman who was learning some second base, and the Cardinals are like, well, we need a shortstop. Here you go, buddy. Try it. And he's done a really nice job at it. So, you know, I feel like there's a good chance I'm going to be wrong about it because I still see him as one of those, I guess you could call it a regular utility player, if not an everyday utility player, because I also think they have questions. I mean, they have got other guys, right? I mean,
sure.
I would think they want Matt Carpenter to be their third baseman next year.
Right.
Right? I mean, so you would think that the infield is pretty much set. You would think that if there's a new outfielder in the group next year, if Ozuna leaves, you would believe that that's probably Dylan Carlson. But maybe Carlson shows he's not ready. Maybe O'Neill keeps striking out, and that maybe that's where Edmonds, you know, kind of sneaks in. And that's the nice thing about a guy like him who's athletic and versatile and switch hits is that you can do a lot of things with that player.
Kevin, I don't know. I mean, this is it's certainly not the stat of the year, but for me it is. So I've been to only four Cardinals games this year, and that's bad. That's not the stat. Every four game or all four games I've been to, Dakota Hudson has pitched, and all four games they've won. So obviously I need to go down maybe more often when Dakota pitches. But
why don't you have season tickets on? You should be there every day.
I agree with you. You know, I mean, forget about debt, right? I could just put it on a credit card and let it go. I mean, who can we? I don't need to pay that.
Just get a job at the ballpark. You know.
Not a bad idea. Kevin doesn't know this, but Kevin, my long-term goal is to live in Florida, and I want to be an usher for the Tampa Rays. I would assume not many people are asking that question. Like, oh, can I be an usher? They'd be like, really? Come on in.
Well, unless you're retiring in the next year or two, good luck with that, because I think Tampa's going to be somewhere else.
I kind of think the same thing. I think I just lost my retirement fund right there. All right.
I'll just make it the Marlins instead.
There you go. I'll do that. What the heck? All right, Dakota Hudson, you break down pitchers so well. What does he do that makes him so good?
I mean, when he's right, he keeps falling on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, that no matter what level you look at, he's never really been a big strikeout guy. And I know that that's becoming a bit of a problem in Major League Baseball. Like, the current trend is, you know, miss bats, strike people out. I don't think he's going to change what he is, but I do think that you can, that's a very useful player. I don't know that that long term looks like a top of the rotation guy, but I don't think anybody's really asking him to be that. That's Jack Flaherty. Like, he's got the look of the next number one guy. What Hudson does so well is just he keeps his calm. Like, that's the most impressive thing about him and Flaherty to me as young guys that don't have much experience is that they never look overwhelmed. Now, they have bad days. You know, Hudson's had some bad days, but they don't ever look shell-shocked. They don't ever look like anything's putting them off their game. So as much as people like to talk about stuff and, you know, whether it's strikeouts or just velocity or whatever, I mean, the most underrated part of being a pitcher is the mental side. And that's something that I see in Hudson. I think that's one of the things the Cardinals like about him is you can see him as a stabilizing force because he's just not going to freak out if he's not going well. They'll just make an adjustment and try to fix it.
Love talking Cardinals baseball. Kevin Wheeler, follow him on Twitter at KevinWheeler94. Kevin, I'm watching SportsCenter last night with Van Pelt, and he's talking to Doug Glanville. Ask him, given the current state of the NL Central, who do you have the most confidence in going into these last 2 weeks, given everything, the injuries with the Cubs, the schedule that the Brewers have? Doug Glanville's not biased, though. He was on the Cubs broadcast, and he said the Cubs. I'll ask you the same question, Kevin. Who do you have the most confidence going the rest of the way?
The team that's in the lead. Right. I mean, no, I'm serious. Like, I know that sounds like a total smartass answer, but you know, the team that will come out of today no worse than two games ahead of the next team. That's a pretty big deal. Like with 10 days left, that's you know, it's, and I know the head to head is there, but I mean, I think you have to favor the team that's ahead by two games going in. There are clearly issues, right? I mean, the Cardinals had a decent offensive day today, but they haven't been hitting very much. And you know, the Cubs with everybody basically banged up still have their starting pitchers. You know, it's kind of the thing that's kept them alive this year with their crazy bullpen and some of the erratic offensive production that they've received from a lot of guys. You know, that starting pitching is still good enough. So there's nobody that's got anything locked up, but I don't think there's any doubt that the team with the best chance right now is the team that's got a lead because you just simply have more room for error.
Kevin, with so many games in a baseball season, it's hard to put too much stock into one individual game, but it's hard not to look at tomorrow's game against Hendricks with Flaherty on the mound in Wrigley, a place you haven't won all season, and pinpoint and say that is the key to the rest of the series. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, I think that – I mean, I don't think it means you can't win the series or break even in the series, but, yeah, I agree that you got your best on the mound going up against a team that has tons of injured players that's been, you know, kind of – on rocky ground for most of the year. Just the mood around them and the mood around the Cardinals, even though their records are almost the same, it's not the same thing. Like, Joe Maddon's job is on the line, and front office is unhappy in Chicago, and fan base is unhappy and growing disillusioned. So, you know, it would be really important for your best guy to get the win. I mean, that's kind of the thing right now too, right? If you can lock this stuff up earlier, let's say you can go out and win 3 out of 4 or whatever. Well, you might even be able to kind of play around with your rotation next week to make sure you've got whoever you want lined up for the first postseason game. I know it's a little bit too far down the line to be thinking about, but that, you know, it's one of the things that plays into these early games. If you get yourself a 3 or 4 game lead going into Saturday, I mean, obviously you're in a much better position, to not just to hang on, but to really take control. And when you have your best on the mound, those are the games you really have to go.
And Kevin, we are looking ahead, and I'm sure there's Cubs fans out there going, oh, really? And we're putting this into perspective that if it happens, and if the Cardinals end up facing, let's say, the Braves, although the Dodgers are kind of squandering us a little, it's fair to say you'd start in Atlanta, and you'd have to go Flaherty, Dakota, and then you'd have Waino at home, right? I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. You might even go Michaelis in the 2 spot. I'm not saying you would. I personally would agree with you. I'd probably go with the young guys, and then go with Michaelis and Wainwright after that. But yeah, I mean, if you can line it up any way you want, you definitely want Flaherty first, and you want him to be able to be sure to go twice in any series.
Kevin Wheeler, good stuff, my man. Hey, I wanted to read you one thing. I know it's your buddy Jeremy Rutherford down there for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and he had a tweet. You probably saw it, but I got to get a hockey question in there. And it said, Dunn confirmed that his upper jaw was broken last year when he got hit by a puck. He's had 4 to 5 surgeries on his mouth, has 5 new teeth, asked if he'd wear a face shield, which he tried but didn't like. He said, I'd rather just take another puck to the face. Hockey players are just fun, aren't they?
Oh, dude, first of all, they're the best. And second of all, I think he's lying. I don't think he really wants to do that. Now, I will tell you this. That is definitely a hockey player answer. And I got to be honest, when I saw that earlier today, I was sitting in my office at home, and I just laughed out loud. That was fantastic. And that is absolutely, like, old-time Eddie Shore, tape the foil on your hands and go hockey right there.
Amen. It is the best. Kevin Wheeler, we always wish you the best, my friend, and we're always very happy to have you come on. And really, the only guest that we could maybe trump you with is Jeremy Warner, which is coming up next. So we had to do it, Kevin.
Oh, that's all right. That's fine. I don't take anything personally at this point.
There you go. I love it. Kevin Wheeler, always great, my man. Thank you.
All right, we'll see you boys later.
All right, that is Kevin Wheeler. He's awesome. I love talking baseball with him. Sometimes I ask, like, dumb questions to Kevin, and he probably thinks, yeah, I don't know if Tay's very smart, but sometimes I just know where it's going to lead him,
yeah,
and then I love the answer. So there it is. I take one for the team, for all our listeners out there to know that I'm the one that sounds dumb, but I'm trying to get the best answer out of Kevin Wheeler.
Well, it's like Yachty behind the plate. Is there can be a not-so- great pitch that's not hitting the spot.
Boom.
But he's going to clean it up and make it look all right.
Never fails. Speaking of cleaning things up, I need Jeremy Warner to clean up for me why Illinois lost to Eastern Michigan, and I need him to put a little bit of hope in my mind as they get ready to face Nebraska this Saturday. So we'll ask him if he can do that. But Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer, he's going to join us when we come back. Excited to talk to him. Next hour, we'll do Around the World of Big Ten Football. And as a reminder, we're going to be giving away at 5:30 today. It's a GoStever.com Rosati's Pizza $30 vouchers. And we're going to tell you about that as the day goes along. When we return, though, Jeremy Warner, it is The Drive.
An ESPN Radio Extra Point with Mike Golic, Trey Wingo, and Mike Golic Jr.
Eli Manning. If he's done, if he's never playing again, is he a Hall of Famer? Because to me, he is the most fascinating topic or player on this debate. Because there are certain people who say, my God, he won 2 Super Bowls. He was the MVP of both those Super Bowls. Look who he beat in those Super Bowls. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Of course he's a Hall of Famer. But then you have to look at the other side. And like to me, the Hall of Fame is not about did you win a ring, no matter what your position is. To me, it's about were you at the highest level for an extended period of time when you played, or were you so incredibly good for a short period of time that because of injury, your arc was turned away and everyone knows you would have been there anyway. And I'm not sure if he qualifies in either one of those categories.
Hear more from Golic and Wingo tomorrow morning on ESPN Radio.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
School's back in session, which means your ride better be ready. At AutoZone, we've got the free services you need to drive with confidence, like our free battery testing. If you're having trouble starting your car, head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. We'll test your battery for free and help you figure out the real issue, so you don't spend money on stuff you don't need. To learn more, visit us online at AutoZone.com.
Restrictions and details in store, based on data from the MPD Group Incorporated Car Care Track 12 months ending December 2018.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. Sherwin-Williams.
Hi there. I heard paints are 40% off.
Yep, and stains too.
Right here.
Mm-hmm. Only at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store.
Right now.
Well, September 20th through 23rd.
Right on.
Right? Ask Sherwin-Williams, September 20th through 23rd, and save 40% on paints and stains, with sale prices starting at $23.09. Only at your local Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Sub-exclusions apply. See store for details.
Car payments, mortgages, college tuition. You have enough to worry about, so let Pekin Insurance relieve some stress with auto, home, business, and life insurance. You can even protect your RV, motorcycle, and pets with our coverage. Request a free quote today at PekinInsurance.com. Our local agents will provide you with beyond the expected advice and service. That's PekinInsurance.com.
Game Day Spirit, the official fan store of the University of Illinois, is giving you an opportunity to win four free midfield tickets and a parking pass to this weekend's game against Nebraska. That's right, free tickets. All you have to do is stop by their Neal Street location this week and enter for your chance to win. It really is that easy. Contest expires this Friday at 5:30 p.m., and the winner will be contacted afterwards. No purchase necessary. Limit one entry per customer. Win tickets to see Illinois take on Nebraska this Saturday with Game Day Spirit, the official fan store of the Fighting Illini.
It's time for another My Journey with Mettler.
My name is Brock Ideas. My hometown is Gifford, Illinois, and I'm a farmer. This spring, I suffered from a leg injury as a result of training improperly. Both of my lower calves were in constant pain. And every day, I'm grateful for the answered prayer of being led to the Mettler Center. They're extremely helpful. The physical therapist I specifically had, he was a very good listener. I enjoyed listening to his advice and putting it into practice into my daily life.
Start your journey with Mettler Center. Visit MettlerCenter.com today.
Hi, folks. Van for heel-to-toe shoes in downtown Urbana. Hey, quit putting it off. You've heard about us. I've been yelling at you long enough. Come on in, get measured, get fit in that comfortable pair of footwear you know you deserve. Don't be a dummy head. We're easy to find. Heel-to-toe shoes, 106 West Main, downtown Urbana. I said I'd tell you hi. Hi, do it.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Long Tay and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
I had to do it. I'm going old school Tay and Jay music.
Okay.
As we're
okay.
Getting set to welcome in Jeremy here in a second.
Well, quick second, let me tell you about CMI, Chemical Maintenance Incorporated on Bloomington Road. Stop by there if you are in charge of keeping your business clean and germ-free. Check out Esprayer. This technology is great for schools, but also great for health, assisted living, and gym facilities. Call CMI at 217-359-6262 today for more info, or schedule a demo at cmiclean.com.
That's all right.
Hey, good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is my thing.
Yeah,
come on, Piper!
I read the paper and...
Yeah, that's all right.
I don't know.
Ron Burgundy. All right, how about Tay 6? What's your favorite number?
11.
All right, we'll go to 11. How do you have an odd number as your favorite? Here we go. I'm Brad Pott and Jeremy up right here. Yeah, baby. Jeremy, what's your favorite number?
Oh, man.
Do you have one?
I don't know. Like, I had my football number was 56.
56. Let's do that one. Let's just...
Is there a Tay? I don't know if there is.
Yeah,
one,
there is. Here it is.
Okay.
Here we go.
Deep.
Oh, no!
That's Harry. Didn't he get a hold of it?
Yes. But we actually had that on the Tay and Jay. That is incredible. All right. It's my buddy Jeremy Warner. I had to reminisce there.
By the way, Piper doing live reads already?
Right.
He's getting a full-blown radio man.
Yeah, and he's stealing my .com. I mean, this won't be a very long relationship, will it? I'm totally kidding you. All right. Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer, wrote a wonderful piece after the game. Bang for your buck. Is Illinois getting enough of it? And I want to talk to you about that. And I want to talk to you about another piece you wrote, which I sat down at the office today, and I know I'm supposed to be working, but right off the bat, you had tweeted out, and I saw it on the way to work, about going behind the scenes with the BTN crew.
Yeah.
And I sat down and read that. That is a wonderful read. It's so cool to me, Jeremy, even somebody that's been in the business, in other words, I've done TV, now I've done radio, it's still so cool to me to see what is done behind the scenes. Well done on that article.
Yeah, thanks. I talked to Jay, and I said, you know what would be cool sometime is just to sit in the booth with you.
Yes.
And just see what you guys do. And I think Jay's a star. I'm not trying to be biased. I think he's really good. I think he's really entertaining. And I think he's really smart.
Yep.
And I think he gets that across on the air. And I think Mike Monaco, you guys met him. It looks like he's 20 years old, right? But he's a really good play-by. I'm really impressed by him, and I was glad to get to know him. So the story really ended up about those guys. The one regret I have is that I was on the they had a headset, an extra pair of headphones on, but I couldn't hear their producer.
Oh.
So I was hoping I could hear their producer, because I think that's a really interesting part. Just somebody in your ear while you're talking. Like, to me, you know that line.
Right.
But to me, that would screw me up if I'm doing a radio show. Like, if somebody's in my ear while I'm talking, that is a skill to have. So I find that really interesting, but I didn't get that part. But what stuck out to you, Lon, because you are familiar with this business. I'm wondering what came through for you.
What I loved is I love the interaction during a game. Like, for instance, and really it comes down to the producer, when you said that, like, Jay Layman would press a button and say, hey, 55. Like, I want to talk about Jamal Milan's hit, yeah. Or I want to talk about this. I mean, so many things stuck out. Number one, the fact that they've done two games together, and they're already ribbing each other. And the fact that Mike didn't say anything about Jay Layman's home ec comment, which Layman's probably sitting there going, dude, come on.
I thought Jay, like, I'm watching him throughout the game, and I'm like, man, him and Lante are just peas on pod, right? Like, I'm like, those personalities, like, he said, hey, you want to come see me put on makeup? I'm like, yep. And he broke down, like, how he was putting on makeup. I'm like, this is just pure gold. But I thought Mike played off him well. And I think,
yes.
You know, the way they get prepared differently for a game, it just reminded me a lot of our dynamic on back in the day. But I thought that's what makes them so good. And I think Mike is a rising. I mean, he's probably, I didn't ask him his age, but he graduated 2015 from Notre Dame. So he's 20-something, and he's already doing Big Ten games. It's pretty impressive.
And Piper's going to jump in, but I also, in the article, love the ding.
No, that was great. I love that as well.
I was like, yes!
One more about Jay. You get to have him on your show every Monday and Friday. And it was funny when Mike Monaco shared that story of explaining the spread offense and drawing it up, and Mike Cartier, and also talking about West Virginia and Steve Slayton. Has Jay brought in the tapes to you as well? Is you guys break down some football tape and what's he like to be around like that?
I should get him on a whiteboard at some point. That'd be a lot of fun. But no, that's what I love about Jay. Just breaking down, like, when we talked, I think Lon, you tweeted out, I learned something new with Jay, and I think that's when we were talking about linebacker play and how hard it is nowadays. Like, that he said, he was brutally honest. I couldn't play linebacker now. I was too slow. Now everything's so spread out, and athleticism, speed is known more than, you know, being physical or being big. Like, I don't know if Mike Singletary could do what he did in today's defenses, right? Like, I just don't know if he'd be able to do it. So, yeah, I learned something new every day, and that's what I love about him. I think he thinks it's going to get too nerdy. But I love that stuff.
Oh, it's awesome.
I think people want to get smarter with football, so I think it goes pretty well.
Jeremy, that was a fun article to read. Some Lion fans maybe didn't have as much fun reading the Bang for the Buck article, which is a great one, just talking about Lovie Smith. You pay Eastern Michigan $1 million to come in here, and they beat you on your home field.
Mm.
Just what do you take away from that, you know, now going into this week? And where do you think this team is at right now, you know, midweek in practice?
I know it's a minority of people, guys, whether it's on the internet trying to get curry favor with somebody, and there's the kids.
I hear him.
There's the kids.
Was that, wait, which one was that?
That's Lily.
Yes, Lily makes her debut on the drive.
Torrin came in the room and was being quiet, but Lily, here, bring her over. What's up,
Lily?
What are you doing?
Hi, Lily.
Hi. You say Dada?
Hi, Lily. I'm sitting here talking to her like she's a dog. And I'm like, come here, Lily.
I mean, that's kind of what they are at this point.
Right.
No, she's starting to say dad and things. No, but like, there was a portion of the fan base that seemed to try to be rationalizing that. Like, oh, this will be okay. And maybe it'll be okay. Maybe they'll surprise us and win 4 of 9 games, right?
Right.
But let's raise the expectations.
Amen.
You are paying your coach top 15 salary. It is year 4. We have been patient. You have been patient as fans. Now it's time to raise the bar. Lovie Smith said that all offseason. So hold him to a standard that he set, that they need to be better. Lovie Smith didn't make a lot of excuses after the game, right?
No.
So Illini fans shouldn't either. They should have won that game. Rod Smith said that he was, what, bleeped off. and that the rest of the offenses, they should be. Because that's an embarrassment in year four to lose. And I think Eastern Michigan, I think they'll do some stuff in the MAC. I don't know if they'll win it, but they'll be in the race. I think Chris Creighton's a heck of a coach. I think you got outcoached.
Yep.
And if I'm an Illinois fan and I'm paying my guy $4 to $5 million a year, that bothers me. Because it makes you go, okay, who do we have at a coaching advantage in going into the Big Ten play? I mean, he's outcoached Fleck once. Ash, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, going up against Brahm, you know, going up against I think this offense, guys, is going to be capable. I think there are correctable things with this offense, whether it's penalties or turnovers. I think you can see, though, that this offense will be competitive. We're in year four, though, and I still don't know if a Lovie Smith defense is going to be even mediocre or even competitive. We saw two games against lower-level opponents where they were better. But then we just saw Eastern Michigan dice them up. So this is a huge statement game for Illinois. Even if you're just, as you said, Lon, be competitive against them. Get into a fourth quarter that's fun and that can give you hope that you can win 4 of 9 games, because what we saw on Saturday doesn't suggest that this team's even close to a bowl team. I don't think our expectations were too high coming into this year, right?
I don't either.
I think most people thought bowl game would be great. 5-7 with competitiveness and fun, you can convince me to go for another year. But if they're any worse than that, then what are we doing here?
Amen. And I don't even get my big game now. Like, I mean, right. It's still going to happen. But
well, now you need to win Nebraska so you got a big game against, right?
Good call.
The next week at Minnesota.
That's a great call. All right, if you're the one person out there that doesn't follow Jeremy on Twitter, it's at JWarner247. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but here we go. The defense. You and I always talked about how we loved how Kevin Wheeler breaks down pitchers. Mm-hmm. I love how you break down when you go back and rewatch the game on Saturday or Sunday. And when you watch this defense, and I know you always, you know, you'll focus in on the offensive line sometimes or this or that. When you watch the defense, you know, in the past, the 1 year, six guys ran for 200 plus against Illinois, and it's like, well, this is pretty easy to tell you that we need to stop the run. Now we can't stop the pass. So when you watch it, and it's this base defense that Scott Frost basically, Derek brought this up the other day, said in his press conference, well, you know, these first three teams we've played have kind of thrown a wrinkle at us on defense. Well, we don't expect that Saturday. We know what Illinois runs. Yeah. So when you watch it, can it work? Or, I mean, is the, I hate
know.
To say the word talent because I think kids are talented, but are the right guys not there to play that defense, or do we just even know if it'll work, or should I just shut up?
Well, there's a lot in there.
Right.
First of all, injuries hurt, and I thought on Saturday you really missed Bobby Rountree because your other side defensive end outside of Wally Batiku, and I didn't think Wally Batiku had a very good game, especially against the run. But Owen Carney, Isaiah Gay aren't giving you anything. Isaiah Gay is now hurt. Ayoshuk Bandio is limited talent-wise. So I think that hurts because you lost talent there. Jamal Woods being out I think was a big one. He's a guy who's been disruptive. Him and Jamal Milan have had really good years, and Jamal was really good, especially before he got nicked up a little bit. Lareo Oladipo is their third defensive tackle. He wasn't in that game. So I think that was really affecting what they did against the run, and they couldn't get pressure from their front four, unlike the first two games, right? I mean, it was havoc behind the line of scrimmage the first two games, and that just makes the secondary's job so much easier, but it also allows them to kind of sit back in that zone coverage, be aggressive, try to pick off passes, and even though they gave up yards against UConn, they got two interceptions, right? So, like, they were giving up some yards against Akron in them, but they weren't giving up big plays.
Good call.
But they brought the blitz with the linebackers. It didn't work. And that just put the defensive backs on an island. And you saw you have issues in that secondary. One, because Marquez Beeson is hurt. Tony Adams was hurt. But also, Sidney Brown hadn't played a lot, and he made some mistakes. But Quan Martin did not have a good game. Nate Hobbs got beat one-on-one. I think then he won some one-on-one battles. So I don't think that's a long-term concern. But Quan Martin isn't as good as we thought he was going to be. At least he hasn't been quite yet. So what I'm worried about, Lon, is you're not talented enough on the front four if you're not fully healthy without Bobby Rountree. And without Marquez Beeson, are you talented enough on the back end without him and Tony Adams? That's an issue because that puts a lot of stress on the linebackers, whether it's in coverage or whether it's to get there on the blitz. And on Saturday, they weren't able to get there with the blitz. But you also mentioned it. There's not a lot of disguise here. Like, they'll walk up and show some blitz and things like that. But Lovie Smith, he'll even say it. Our defense is pretty simple. And it does make you wonder, with all these other defenses being so,
elaborate.
So many, elaborate things to do. And Vic Koning was definitely that.
Mm.
It makes you wonder, will it succeed?
Where's that dude these days?
Vic was at Troy. I don't know if he's still at Troy, because their coach went to West Virginia, I believe. I don't know where
Vic is. Is he just hanging around? I mean, can he come up?
Jeremy, a lot of focus on that defense, but again, the expectations aren't that high as far as improvement. So you got to be exceptional on the offensive side of the ball.
Right.
And this was an offense that didn't put up a point in the second quarter, the third quarter. You already mentioned it with turnovers and penalties. How correctable are those things, and what do you think would be the biggest thing they need to shore up before facing Nebraska, where they're probably going to need to put up at least 35, maybe 40?
One thing I'd like to see, and I know he kind of got behind the sticks because of the penalties, but the penalties are correctable, right? Some of the guys who are making them, whether it's Kendrick Green or Alex Palcheski, those guys are good players. Another correctable thing, I think, is Brandon Peters just go down. I know we don't want to see him fold or anything, but like, when somebody is right in your face, don't try to throw the ball and kind of have it up in the air, the ball up in the air. Just tuck it and take your sack and take your hit. They got to protect him a little bit better, and that's running back tight end. I thought the offensive line actually blocked pretty well. But the other thing is, I'd like to see Rod stick with the run game a little longer, right? I mean,
I agree.
Second and third quarter, he got behind the sticks sometimes he was talking about on second and third down because of penalties. They also did because he didn't run on first down.
Mm-hmm.
He kept passing on first down. And with that offensive line and with Reggie Corbin and Dre Brown, I still think this is a pretty decent running team. It won't put up the numbers it did last year because they don't have A.J. Bush. Mike Epstein's not there. But this is still a pretty good running team. I mean, we've kind of been disappointed at maybe the last couple weeks with the running attack, and they had 150 and 160 yards. That's still a very good running attack. And, I mean, this passing attack's fun. Right?
It is.
They had a bad second and third quarter, but I thought their offense coordinator didn't help them with the run and obviously the penalties hurt. But, I mean, this is the best 3-4 wideouts they've had in a while when you include Daniel Barker in that. I mean, Joshy Matorbebe is making plays we haven't seen in a long time. I think Ricky Smalling's been one of the best players on this team.
No doubt.
And we haven't really even seen Trayvon Sidney get going. And Brandon, no matter, like, he's going to miss some throws. He's missed some high. He needs to be more consistent. But boy, he's dropping dimes we haven't seen in a long time. So I still buy this offense as being competitive. It's just, it's got to clean up those mistakes. But I do think they are correctable.
You, every once in a while, come upon an athlete. I know you love talking to all the athletes. They're fun. I'm getting to the basketball question here in a second, Derek.
Go for it.
But Matorbebe, I know when you talk to him, you love talking to that dude, don't you? I love hearing him. It's just wisdom.
I feel like I'm talking to someone who's lived a lot more life than I have.
Right.
That has a better perspective of life than I have. And I have two kids. I pay taxes. Like, all these things. I've been through a lot of things. But, boy, this guy, like, I just find him interesting. I find it refreshing when an athlete's willing to talk about his struggles mentally, which I don't think enough of these kids talk about, because and Derek knows this, as great as some of these guys' lives can be, and people don't want to hear about, like, first world problems. Joshy Matorbebe, he's got a good family, right, and he's a top 200 prospect. But the pressure these kids go through, right? I mean, there's still issues that they have to go through.
No doubt.
Mental issues these kids got to go through. And I love it. It's very refreshing about how he does it. I think it's very important that, a team that lacked veterans, lacked experience, they can see the example of guys like Wale Batiku and Joshy Matorbebe or Trayvon Sr. or even Brandon Peters. I think it's so important that those guys have good perspective for those other people to learn.
Great call.
Last one for me, Jeremy. We don't have anyone on the show who can answer this, but is Illinois going to get Adam Miller?
Oh!
You tell me. It seems to change,
well,
but I mean, Illinois has been the constant here, right?
Yep.
They have a good sell. With what Io's done, I know he probably doesn't want to be thought of as Io 2.0, and as you know, Derek, he's a very different player. But boy, it feels like the whole thing with Io DeSumo and Taylen Horton Tucker, feels like it was leading towards a good relationship here. And it feels like they have a good relationship, and they've recruited him the right way the entire time. But to get him stolen from you, it feels like that. Mm-hmm. If it was with Arizona State, would really stink. Even though I don't think it'd be a death knell, because you know me, Derek, I love Andre Curbelo.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's a fantastic player, just a great cultural basketball fit. But to add Adam Miller on top of Io DeSumo, I think that'd be a big statement for Illinois. And if they can add Miller, bring him in after Io leaves, and he got that Chicago connection continuing, I think that'd be a great thing for the program to go along with all Brad Underwood's kind of culture guys and finds that he gets.
Jeremy, I got a good one for you. This morning, Mom and I and Andrew are going to fly out to Tempe, Arizona for Thanksgiving, and I'm trying to figure out where to stay because Lucas is now in an apartment that's kind of closer. It's between the campus and Sky Harbor Airport. So there were two hotels I'm trying to lock in, and so I call him, mind you, at 2:20 my time. So that's 12:20 his time. The phone rings, and he picks it up, and it's this, hello?
PM?
And I'm like, are you, no. Yeah. Like 4 hours ago. Yeah. And I said, I'm like, are you just waking up? And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, did you have a rough one last night? He goes, no. And I'm like, it's 12:20. And so this morning on September 18th, I turned into Neil Tay. And I made the trip.
Just wake him up for the heck of it. Just because you have to be up.
Exactly.
Be.
I used to tell Jeremy all the time, my dad would call me at 8:15 at Carbondale. And I'm like, Dad, I literally got to sleep at 4 a.m. Well, why in the hell are you sleeping till 4? Well, because why are you going to bed at 4? Because the bars are open till 2, Dad. And it takes a while to get home.
I was the weird college kid. I think Isaac Trotter's this way. I'm up at 7:30 anyway.
That is
college. It's weird. I know.
It's weird.
I couldn't sleep. I was like, I can do something else.
Hey, that's good for you, though, man. Just think of all the stuff you saw that nobody else did on campus. That's
an empty campus. Yeah.
Correct. Hey, tell Torin and Tiff and Lily, tell them all hi. Tell Lily congrats on making her appearance on the drive.
she's getting ready to walk, man.
Oh,
she's,
I know.
She's nuts. She's a lot of fun, though.
Oh,
and,
she's
and
a
the
dog.
Most fun part, Juan, I know you, like, Lucas was well aware of everything going on with Andrew.
Right.
But, like, Torin now finds her interesting.
That's cool.
You know what I mean? Like, when she wasn't moving, he was like, whatever.
Yeah, what is this?
Now he finds her really interesting, and, like, he's giving her hugs. He's loving on her. He wants to play with her. Like, so it's a lot of fun, this little time in their life.
He's going to be a great big brother. Yeah. You can already tell. Jeremy Warner, always great to visit, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, boys.
All right, that is Jeremy Warner. We got to catch a break, man. I love talking to Jeremy.
Strong hour, man. Strong
that
hour.
Is, man. Wheeler and
dude.
Warner.
Yeah.
We just basically opened the, what do you call that, the Rolodex, and we started at the bottom today with Wheeler and Warner, but certainly they are incredible guests, and it's fun to catch up with them. What's after the seat? QRSTUVW. Do we have any Vs? Vic Fangio, join us tomorrow from
Valise.
Denver. Trevor Valise.
Yeah.
He'll be back on tomorrow. Okay, that's perfect. Well done. All right, we got to catch a break. Next hour, a little drive time. We're going to do a GoSteever.com. There's going to be a giveaway, and we're going to do around the world of Big Ten football. Lot to do next hour. It is The Drive.
Flooring Surfaces is your first stop in central Illinois. Premium laminate, waterproof vinyl, and beautiful hardwoods are on sale now. Save 30 to 60% on dozens of in-stock options. With a million square feet of flooring in stock, Flooring Surfaces has your perfect floor ready to take home today. Visit the newly designed showroom for a floor covering experience like no other in central Illinois. 401 East Mercury Drive, Champaign.
Flooring Surfaces, your first stop.
You should play Willow Pond Golf Course in Rantoul this week. The testimonials speak for themselves. One golfer said, "The cheers of Rantoul. Great food and great service. You can tell everyone loves their jobs." Another review said, "Great staff, fun course." This fall, make the trip out to Willow Pond Golf Course in Rantoul and see why their fans are raving about this wonderful course. Play around, then enjoy lunch, dinner, or drinks at the 19th Hole Bar and Grill. Enjoy the last days of summer and the start of fall at Willow Pond Golf Course in Rantoul this week.
Hi, I'm Habib Habib, and this is your Motivational Minute. Joyce Meyer said, "You only have one life, and if it's not going the direction you want it to, now's the time to make changes." We do that by living on purpose and making every single day count. We must not make the mistake of letting our past mistakes cause us to give up. We learn as we go, not as we sit idly by doing nothing, and we don't have to feel like doing what's right in order to do it. The greatest hindrance to improving our lives is to live according to our emotions instead of purposefully choosing to do the right thing. So today's the day for us to seize the day. Let's say yes to what's important and no to what's not. Let's bring our best to the table and not get to bed tonight wishing we hadn't wasted today. Carpe diem, seize the day. Get inspired to seize the day by joining me at this year's Live to Lead with John Maxwell at the iHotel on Friday, October 11th. Buy your tickets at HabibHabib.com. I'm Habib Habib, and this was your Motivational Minute.
I've been around a long time, seeing a lot of gadgets show up that are supposed to make my job easier. Digital screwdrivers, hammer 2.0, the new improved nail, now with more pointiness. You know what really makes my job easier? Grainger. Easy reordering, easy inventory solutions, and easy to do business with every time. Gadgets come and go. You want reliability. You want Grainger. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Flowers are perfect for any occasion, from the Blossom Basket Florist.
Oh, yeah, they sure are. Flowers are perfect for any birthday, anniversary, Boss's Day, Sweetest Day, Veterans Day, Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Oktoberfest, Constitution Day, United Nations Day. Whew.
It doesn't matter the holiday. Fresh flowers and beautiful green plants are perfect for the occasion. Call the Blossom Basket Florist and celebrate with that special person today. Call 367-ROSE or blossombasket.com.
Dealing with technology can be confusing and frustrating. With all the disorienting details of both wired and wireless technologies, it's easy to get things confused. Area-wide Technologies in Champaign makes sure your virtual private information is secure and allows you peace of mind that you will always be connected to customers and their problems. Give Area-wide a shot at 359-8041 or head to their website at www.areawidetech.com and let them take the confusion of cybersecurity out of your hand.
You're listening to WSJK ES.